period.
There you go.
You too, Jim.
And to tell us where we're going to get that money from in the future, I'd like to welcome Lauren Taylor.
Great segue.
Who's then going to introduce Tom Farrell?
Must be out of order on the agenda.
Well, thank you, Chairman Kennedy, and good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you again. My talk today is going to cover five different areas, but I hope to move through them very quickly, so I believe we can cover a lot of ground in the next few minutes. Those five areas are the Alumni Association's positive effect on fundraising, providing a snapshot of our alumni data and identifying some of the gaps in what we know about them, seeing how we compare with the rest of the Big Ten in terms of numbers and resources, how we track our performance and monitor our progress, and then we'll revisit our mission and introduce you to our current volunteer leadership. So let's take a look first at where we fit in fundraising. We're a key part of an overarching advancement initiative along with the university, the campuses, and the foundation. This initiative began with the formation of the Alumni Association in 1873, when a group of graduates wanted to stay connected to each other and to help their alma mater grow and prosper. Decades later, when private giving became much more prominent, the foundation was created in 1935. Over time, alumni relations, development, and communications have evolved into today's advancement profession. Each area has its own professional expertise, functional expertise, and has distinct but overlapping missions, and we all try to help the university move forward. The result is a landscape in which alumni, donors, and friends can, and usually do, develop multiple relationships across the institution. And the more connections alumni have with the university, the deeper their loyalty and engagement. Today, there are many areas at the university that collect data, host events, and cultivate relationships with alumni, and that's a very good thing. But the Alumni Association does this on the largest scale possible. Our programs, services, and communications allow us to support and impact fundraising in three key areas. By acquiring business titles and professional contact information, which are areas critical to the advancement enterprise and that have been emphasized much more in recent years. By identifying and acquiring new donors, not just for the Alumni Association membership, but for the university at large. And to provide a mass stewardship program for those donors through alumni-focused publications and outreach programs. And the association's membership program is one of the strongest predictors of future or continued giving to the university. In fact, data shows that an Alumni Association life member is 19 times more likely to be a President's Council member than a non-life member. And the President's Council, of course, only includes those who have made $25,000 gifts or more cumulatively throughout their lifetime. So we believe that Alumni Association membership is one of the largest and broadest gateways to the university, and our programs like the U of I Alumni Network and Illinois Connection encourage alumni to find additional ways to become involved and to contribute. In terms of our approach to engagement, we work from the bottom up. We believe that every alumnus has a life cycle with the university, and we work most of the time with the mass market of alumni to move them upward to become advocates and leaders. Private gifts might be made anywhere on this pyramid, but it's usually at the higher levels of engagement where most giving occurs. As far as our alumni market, I can say that we know a lot, but we still have far to go. We have much to learn about market segmentation, customer relationship management, and creating competitive advantages. Because while we do know a lot about our alumni, we also have some gaps that hinder us, especially when working with a mass market like we do. As you can see here in the upper left, we have a lot of alumni, 680,000 living graduates. That's more than any university in the country. This chart also shows alumni by campus and where they're concentrated. Not surprisingly, most are in the state, and most of them are in the Chicagoland area, although we have significant concentrations elsewhere. Generally speaking, our data for international alumni and for categories like occupations and employers is not as robust as it needs to be. As you look at China in the lower left, for example, we know we have many more alumni than the 2,000 that are shown there, but that's how many we've been able to get accurate information for. That's why the Advanced Illinois Technology Project, which we have long advocated for, is so important to our future. It will help us improve areas like these that our outdated system can't manage. This chart breaks down the data further and shows the top five cities and counties in the state by campus, as well as the top five states and countries by campus in terms of where alumni live. Again, there are no major surprises here, but this information helps us direct time and resources to where we can reach the broadest audience. Next, we'll take a look at where we stand in comparison to other Big Ten alumni associations. About 10 years ago, Illinois ranked fourth in total paid membership among the public Big Ten alumni associations, and we've included Nebraska here for comparison too. Plus, while it's not shown on this chart, we had roughly 85,000 fully paid life members, also more than anyone else in the country. And as you can see on the right, our revenues and expenses were about on par with the other top half of associations in the conference, with those organizations hovering around $7 million in expenditures. In 2011, we still rank fourth in the conference, even if you single out the Urbana campus alone, because that's a better comparison with other Big Ten schools. But you'll also note that those top associations have increased their revenues and expenses to the $8 to $10 million and up range, while we remain essentially at the same level as 2002. And compounding that problem is that today we have some 200,000 more alumni than we did in 2002. This is our sources and uses of funds over time that again shows that we're operating at 2002 levels. What this slide also illustrates, however, is the dramatic decline in resources from a peak of more than 11 million just a few years ago in 2007 to a full 30% less in 2012. So clearly, acquiring sufficient resources has to be a high priority for us, especially given the new programs we've tackled and the increasing number of alumni that we serve. In light of these reductions in recent years, the association has been adapting and adjusting to meet the growing needs of the university and its alumni. We engage with alumni regardless of their financial support of the membership program. We use technology, multiple media platforms, and alumni-oriented messages to expand our market reach. And we've taken on bigger picture initiatives like legislative advocacy for the university. So the metrics that we look at reflect these changes over the years. There are five strategic priorities today where we track our performance and monitor our progress. Connectivity. We use scalable technology to improve data quality and quantity, as well as networking capacity. An example is the UI Alumni Network, a suite of online communities that allow alumni to be informed and involved wherever they may be in the world. It also updates information directly to our database. Engagement, or increasing alumni participation, which in turn enhances loyalty to the university. Advocacy, in which we use alumni to grow support at both the state and federal levels. Identifying, recruiting, and developing alumni leadership and expertise for service. And of course, managing our resources to fulfill our mission. This is a report that shows our progress in those five areas since 2006. Green represents growth or progress, and red indicates negative trends. As you can see, we've had growth in most of our five strategic priorities, including Illinois Connection and the UI Alumni Network, which we didn't even offer as programs as recently as 2008. Today, those two initiatives are among our most successful and help drive our outreach and engagement strategies. But you can also see the correlation between paid memberships and our level of financial resources. It's clear that our membership needs to grow again and to be embraced by the university as part of a collective advancement strategy in order to produce the necessary resources for overall growth. Finally, our overall mission remains the same as it did in 1873, to build loyalty among alumni and engage them in a united way in support of the university. And our overall strategy is to recognize each person's unique relationship with the institution, but also by building broad support by communicating messages that are designed with them in mind. In closing, I'd like you to meet the association's current and now new leadership after having just changed at our May board meeting. Chairman Mark Phillip, who's an attorney here in Chicago with Kirkland and Ellis, and Vice Chairman Bill Stratton, co-owner and founder of the executive search firm White, Roberts & Stratton in Flossmoor. Both of these gentlemen and all of the members of the association's board of directors are dedicated and committed alumni that are eager to work with the foundation, with the campuses, and with the university in helping us all achieve our collective and mutual goals. And I thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Lauren, can you go back to the sources and uses chart for a second? We talked a little bit about how many active donors are, you know, in existence with the alumni associations, probably, you know, under 5,000, something like that.
That's a net figure. During FY13, we had 10,300 donors, but those are gross new donations and don't include those who may have passed away, those who do not renew their membership, that type of thing. So you need to reduce that 10,000 by some.
Okay. And I think, you know, we're starting to see more of a full mosaic of your role, of the foundation's role, of our role on the campuses and the UA, and try to pull it all together. But if we look at this, if you look at the second group of support, total UI support, so support from the university, has gone from 41% of total to 55%.
Yes.
And then membership expenses has gone from a little over 7% to a little under 5%.
Yes.
And that's, there's like a little squeeze play going on here. And somehow we need to avoid that, because we need the goodwill that you generate among the alumni to eventually flow into the foundation and direct donations to the university.
Right. The big change under UI support actually is shown in FY 2012 under UI support other, $1.579 million. That includes $1 million in non-cash support in recognition of leasing space for the Alice Campbell Alumni Center and our office spaces on the UIC and UIS campuses as well. So you could take that $4.3 million and essentially subtract $1 million out of that.
I see.
The other observation I make is that the next line down, affinity programs, where in 2007 you had the $3.5 million from
the
program, which is now down to 1.1. So that makes that percentage change.
Yes. Well, it's huge. In fact, when affinity credit card contracts first became public a few years ago, we knew we had a good contract at the University of Illinois Alumni Association. We were not aware until they became public it was the most lucrative in the country. That contract expired, and the timing was such that that entire world changed, and a lot of universities were being completely jettisoned by banks that offered affinity programs. The choice few who remained were able to renegotiate at pennies on the dollar. So we were able to establish a new relationship with the University of Illinois Employees Credit Union that by today's standards is pretty lucrative, but by 2002 or 2007 standards is very small. So we're beginning to regrow that program right now, but that's put a significant pinch on us as well.
I think the takeaway really is, you know, as we look strategically to the future, we need to recognize the reality that their role, they can't continue to self-subsidize their role. And that role needs to be focused in an area that dovetails well into the work of the foundation and our work as well.
Sure. We have a very aggressive set of goals for this year and for the future that not only will sustain us, but will help us in the entire advancement enterprise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lauren, one question.
Yes.
The last 2 days, I've read in the Tribune, I think, a story that suggested that we were trending upward in donations and that are $400 and some million in a short period of time. Are you familiar with that at all?
I haven't seen the articles. Perhaps my colleague from the foundation is more familiar with that than I am.
Yeah.
Not to put you on the spot, Tom.
Lauren, so you see, when you see this, do you see optimism or pessimism? Because I look at it and I look at the benchmark years 2007, 2012, and since 2007, even we've had a little recession thing go on and maybe a scandal, some other issues at the university. And we're emerging out of that.
Right.
So what's your
opinion? I'm always optimistic. I've been doing what I do for a long time, and there's never been a time when I thought there were enough resources. So that's just a way of life. And our mission is to connect alumni and be of support to the university, not to whine. So we make the best of the situation as we can. And many of you know that we have completely restructured our staff and prioritized our programs in the last few years to best meet the needs of alumni in the university, which has meant leaving some things behind or not being as attentive to them as we would like to be.
Lauren? Because I see optimism.
Yes. Yes.
What I'm looking over the charts that compare 2002 and 2011, and I may have missed one, but overall it seems that all of the universities on the charts saw a drop in the percentage of paid members.
Yes.
So it doesn't kind of matter which one you pick, they're dropping 3, 4, 5, 6%.
Right.
How do you interpret that? Just overall complexity of society today and fewer people are interested in belonging to things?
That's a big part of it. The economy, of course, beginning in 2008 was a significant part of it. Membership in one's alumni association isn't considered a necessity by any stretch of the imagination. It's something we monitor very closely. Because we changed our membership model in 2008, this was after a 2.5-year run-up planning for that change. Little did we know what would happen to the national and global economy in October of 2008. That happened to be the same month that we introduced our new membership model. So we tracked what was happening with us for a couple of years, and we really couldn't reach any conclusions because it seemed to be such an unusual period of time. But we did track our new membership model against other Big Ten and peer alumni associations, and we found that they were losing membership at about the same rate that we were losing donations to the alumni association.
What's the number one advantage to being a member of the alumni association?
Access to a family of 680,000 alumni around the world. And we can't preach that enough. Everywhere you go here in Chicago, you'd be amazed how many Illinois graduates from all three campuses you run into. But it's even more astounding around the world and around the rest of the United States how many you come across. And the more we can put them together, the better off we're all going to be, which is why we're so proud of the UI Alumni Network tool that we established a few years ago. It was essentially and initially intended to support our alumni clubs that are in 65 different cities around the state and about 25 countries around the world. And we introduced this tool to them, and we have 250,000 subscribers after about 3 years, subscribers being people who have logged on and created a profile. So that's helped our database immensely since that information automatically uploads to the data.
And how do you interrelate that to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the other ways that people are finding access like that?
This tool will connect with social media so that we can link the data that's available through those social media sites to our database. It's not perfect, but it's better than where we were. And again, I would reference the Advanced Illinois Technology Project, which will be much more capable of interconnecting those kinds of things.
And is that all funded?
It's in process. We're working on it. But we're kind of at a point with an old database that we can't wait any longer.
Let's bring up Tom. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you.
Lauren.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Welcome, Tom. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for the chance to update the board on our fundraising performance. I think this, and I hope this is a regular occurrence so that I can update the board on where we are. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the numbers. And you can see those. Do I have the clicker? I have the clicker. You can see those here. So you can read those. But we are at $428 million in new business for the University of Illinois. That is a new record for the University of Illinois. It's the first time the university has ever gone over $400 million in new business. I take, obviously, complete credit for that. And I hope you recognize the contributions that I've made to this program. You know, Dean McHale and I are of a different cloth, apparently. You know, so, but don't call me next year when the numbers die. In any case, the Granger gift is the real driver of these figures. That extraordinary $100 million gift did put us into this range. It is important to note, however, and we have to be careful when we do this, that if we took the Granger gift out of those totals, we would still be 12% above our fiscal year 12 figures. We'd be 22% above our five-year average in new business. So it wasn't a year just built on Granger, but that's what made it such a special year. We had 74,172 donors generating over 140,000 gifts. And that's down roughly 1.7% from last year. Urbana did particularly well this year. They also did well. They did well in very large gifts like State Farm and Granger and the Gates gift. But they also did well in individual major gifts, 167 gifts of 25,000 or greater, up to 5 million, versus 124 last year. So just a single data point that indicates there was a lot of good things coming out of this fiscal year. Chicago is coming off a record year in fiscal year 12, and it should be noted that's their best year ever, fiscal year 12, at the end of the Brilliant Futures campaign. So they were, when you think about them, they're really only off 2.3% over their five-year average. So I wouldn't read too much into that figure that's there. Springfield took a hit this year because it did not receive the estate gifts that you typically do receive. Last year, you had a very good year in estate gifts. Over $2 million. This year, you did not have that kind of performance there, and it shows up in the figures. Springfield did lead all campuses in total donor growth by at the 6.3% growth number for total donors. Cash, $235 million is a new cash record for the university as well, and that's an 11% growth over last year. So now I'm going to shift to the second part of this, which one of the things the board has asked for, and obviously is very important to the board and to us as well, is having an effective dashboard report that we can provide to you on a regular basis. This is not the exact format that we'll provide it, but I did want to make sure that you knew that your request for this kind of information is consistent with what we're doing at the management level. So there's really three things that we're going to try to look at. And we're happy to get input from the board if you want something a little bit different. But what we're going to look at from a management perspective is production, activity, and pipeline. And that's broken down in these charts. So production is obviously built and understood in two main categories, cash and new business. And then new business is split out in those subcategories. Activity drives production. At some level, if you can quality control it. And we will be providing you with reports on the number of visits that we do from an overall university point of view, from a campus point of view, from a unit point of view, every completely granular, broken into those types of visit categories. We'll also be very aggressively tracking our solicitation activity and breaking that solicitation activity into those categories. And then we'll continue looking at activity through events, which is not something we've been tracking really aggressively. How many events are we doing? What size events? And then once we get that figured out, we'll talk about how effective those events are and that kind of thing. But we'll get the raw data first. Contacts, hugely important. Again, pretty obvious to anybody who'd be thinking about this business. We need to make sure that we're tracking those contacts so we can understand them. And then fifth, volunteer engagement, the idea that involvement leads, as Lauren was just talking about, involvement leads to philanthropy, and it's a place where we need to grow and be better at, although we do have a pretty good baseline. So what we'll try to do is, one of the things we're doing in regards to metrics activity is we put in place a new fiscal year planning process that's being launched this year for fiscal year 14. So every reporting unit, every campus, every college is completing, every department, a fiscal year plan for 14. And that's the first time it's been done enterprise-wide. And we also, as part of that process, have put in place a goal-setting exercise for each reporting unit. And there are over 85 of those fundraising reporting units. So every unit can tell you, me, Bob, the chancellors, what is their target for how much they're going to raise and how they're doing. So we're pretty excited about that, and that will fit in very well with the metrics piece. And then finally, the pipeline, which is really the key to the fundraising business, particularly in higher ed and particularly on the major gift side. How many entities, individuals, potential donors do we have in the pipeline who are in discussions with us about making significant gifts, and how are we doing with them, and how aggressive are we at managing those relationships, and how effective are we at understanding the aggregate data so that we can make projections about our ability to succeed and also understand how good our organization is. The last thing I wanted to say was that when I came in, Chairman Kennedy told me, I don't think he threatened me, but he did tell me, he told me that he wanted a plan. And he's not the only person who wanted a plan. Bob Easter wanted a plan, the chancellors wanted a plan. And I just wanted to report that we are making great progress on our roadmap planning exercise. It's led by the president, the chancellors, the senior team, the vice chancellors. It's something that we would like to, if we could get the time, report in more detail to the board, hopefully at your November meeting. We're pretty excited about it. It's going to come together over the next couple of months, and we're very excited because it's going to give us an opportunity to demonstrate to you how we think we can do this much better.
Okay.
So that concludes.
We'd be happy to allocate, appropriate amount of time. Okay. Thank you.
That concludes my remarks.
Impressive as always. Thank you very
Thank you.
Much, Tom.
Thank you.